We will call the Gates County Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, June 25th, 2025, to order at 8:46 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation: Adams, Claybaugh, Haxby, Tiemann, Dorn, and Juergens. Mr. Lytle will be out today. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the agenda as presented. Approve the minutes of the meeting held June 11, 2025. Approve all claims through June 25, 2025 in the amount of $1,173,429.75. Accept claim number 2506-0234 to RL Tiemann Construction, Inc. in the amount of $77,973.38 to be voted on separately below. $400,000 of that $1.17 million is a internal transfer from general to road.
And then I added about $39,000 for an insurance claim that came in after you guys had looked at them. So that's a little bit different, and Eddie verified it. Today.
All right, so there will be a $39,000 insurance addition to that as well. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve canceling check number 2504-0003 to All Copy Products, Inc. in the amount of $75.63. And check number 2311-0053 to Valvoline Instant Oil Change in the amount of $142.63. I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless you have an item you want to pull off.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any discussion? If not, please vote. Six in favor. Motion carries. I'm going to insert an item right here. The locally famous Doug Kennedy is going to be retiring. Doug's been serving our community for 45 years. You've known his familiar voice in every situation, from storms to celebrations to disasters. You've helped keep our local radio station actually local. Through innumerable good times and bad times, we know when we tune in, we'll hear you telling us what's going on. You've been trusted over the years by countless officials, as well as the folks that you report to. That's an incredible dance, being able to be respected by the folks you report on, as well as the folks you report to. You've done that and earn that trust over those 45 years, reporting on news, sports, and weather instead of spinning those stories or sensationalizing them. You've earned our trust and the trust of the public again and again through honesty and integrity, removing your own feelings from stories and reporting on the facts. I'd love to see that type of integrity at the national level again. Of course, we all got our biases over the years. Doug and I will spar back and forth at commercial breaks or as we're talking. The fantastic thing is, irregardless of what the issue is, Doug and I sit on different ends of the spectrum on some issues, but more so we sit on the same, like most of us do. As we talk back and forth, it's always in an atmosphere of mutual respect. And even when we're throwing verbal jabs playfully, you can tell that there is that back and forth conversation that I'm going to really miss on Thursday mornings. Your commitment to the news, and more importantly, your commitment to our community over the past 45 years has been noticed and it's been appreciated. On behalf of the Gates County Board and the people in Queeby Land, I personally want to thank you for your years of committed service to our community, for the unseen hours, the time away from home, and the dedication to your craft. People that work hard don't have to tell people that they work hard or they're good at what they do. It shows every day. Doug, it shows every day.
Big issue. There was a warrant for my arrest.
No, we would have snapped the tacky on that.
You're the big issue.
You are a big issue.
We could work that out, though. Gus is here.
Yeah. You need over here.
Hey, Eric.
Okay, oh, hold on. We need some FaceTime.
Thank y'all. I just wanted to say thank you. You don't always like to see a reporter show up and ask you questions and things, but I've gotten a lot of cooperation over the years from everybody that I've worked with, and trying to remember all the board members that I've worked with, and it's useless because I can't remember back that far for one thing, but I appreciate all the help and all the cooperation, and one thing that's been really easy about this community over the years is that, you know, people are willing to share their story on important things. And that's not always the case in everything. I come from a hometown in Iowa where they struggle a little bit with that. They don't have the media presence they used to have. And so I appreciate all the help. And I'll drop up every once in a while just to visit or whatever. But it's going to be good to take a little break. But I'm going to miss it too. So, but thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Doug. And you're not gone. It's just a change from this role to hopefully a little more time on the links. Well, the rest of the agenda is a little drier. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 2506-0234 to RL Team and Construction, Inc. in the amount of $77,973.38. This brings the total amount of claims paid through June 25th, 2025 to $1,251,403.13.
Motion to approve.
Second.
13 cents. What did I say?
50.
13 cents, I'm sorry. Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Is that correct? Any discussion? Please vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anything not on the current agenda that you'd like on another agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights, Mr. Dorn.
Dave's here.
Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. We had a few things. The Gage County Museum will be changing out our display on second floor display case on July the 3rd. I always appreciate when they come and change that out. They do a great job. Boiler inspection is due this year. It's every 5 years, so I'm getting that prepared for our 5-year inspection. The audio-visual system for the boardroom is picked to be installed middle of July. Desk for register of deeds got pushed back. They were supposed to be here at the end of this week, and they got pushed back to July, so that gives me a little more time to figure out what we're going to do with the desk that they have now. I did have a couple things I was going to have on the agenda, but I pushed it back 2 weeks. Both of these would be the grant-funded lighting project. That would be replacing all of the 2x4 fluorescents and the can lights, and I did run into a snag with the can lights. Since this is a grant, we need to meet some certain specifications for that, so I'm still working on that with some companies. And the other was, I was getting ready. I thought we could get the concrete bid ready for the east ramp, and that has the hydronic tubing in it. And I debated whether, because that project would be changing out the door, removing that center column. And I think it would be better to tackle that part first. When we put that sliding door in, we would like to have it recessed into the building a little bit, which would require the concrete with the hydronic tubing to be recessed a little bit also, so that would be working with the ice melt also. So I got to get bids on the doors. We do have a bid for removing the column, so I just need to get I have a bid, one bid for the door, and I'll work on another two bids for that. So should be good for next week, or in 2 weeks I should have this information. The only issue I do have is our handicap entrance. As far as what we're going to do there, I'd like to kind of tackle it where we could still leave one half open, but I'm afraid it's a big enough job where that might not be possible. So we'll just kind of have to see what we can do as far as handicap accessibility coming into the building during that time. So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Jones.
Thank you.
Equalization, we'll have a item on the agenda here in a little bit where we'll be going over valuation process. We'll invite Patty back for that. We won't be addressing any individual property questions at that time just because that needs to go to the assessor's office, but I do want to have her go over the valuation process versus how taxes work. Protests need to be turned in by Monday, is that what Patty just said?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock Monday, so make sure we get those in. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket item, City Beatrice Utilities, $47,062.61. Excuse me. City Wymore, quarterly EMS services, $10,000. Federal, Signal Corporation, Sirens, $22,418.55. Gage County, transfer to road, probation, supplies and rent, $419,460. MIPS Incorporated, data processing, $28,699.49. As spoken earlier, the insurance fund transfer, 39 some thousand. U.S. Bank purchase cards, fuel, supplies, meals, etc., $14,787.45. Washington County Sheriff's Department, boarding inmates, $13,950. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $53,539.12. RL Team and Construction Incorporated, Township, Gravel and Hauling, $77,973.38. Rock On Incorporated, Hauling, Township, Gravel, $11,238.35.
Okay, that's it, boss. Anything else for finance and insurance? We don't have a finance. Do you know when they'll be talking to us about reinsurance prices yet?
Not yet. They'll start working on going out for bids, but it's a little bit too early.
As soon as we get to that point, we'll have the insurance committee meet and go over that.
No insurance?
That's up on agenda item.
Human resources, employee relations. We have a closed session to discuss contract negotiations at the end of the meeting. Law enforcement, emergency management. Sheriff? So you'll have a closed to talk about that. Ms. Wigan?
I don't have anything new, no.
All right. Any questions for the sheriff or Ms. Wigan? Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Secretary will handle this.
Ms. Haxby.
The dirt crew is blading beeline, trained the Philly operator. Asphalt crew has been moving barricades, rolling, filling the Grant Highland. Box culvert contractor is still not complete with the construction project. Did we do the break on that test? Did it pass?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we have passed the one, so that one's off of liquidated damages, and now we are accruing
two projects
need to get finished yet. And then once they're all done, we will be seeding and striping. The raise grant will be announced in 3 days. So everybody keep their fingers crossed that makes it and we get a good get some good news. I think that's it.
Mark, you know, we see large numbers of rock and material, and how are we setting as far as townships, counties, rock
as,
and gravel?
As of Monday, we handed out the last township map for spring of 25 gravel. We will be rolling into fall of 25 gravel, probably by the end of this week or later. At this moment, there are only 7 townships that have turned in fall of 25 gravel, which is not due till July 1st. So we are caught up, maybe a little bit ahead, but we're right there.
And July 1st is right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
I would think they would have those in this week yet.
We did send an email out to all the townships that do not have their fall 25 gravel turned in yesterday to get that turned in here by the end of the week.
And, you know, Mark, as long back as I can remember, I don't know if we've ever been caught up on that.
It was a goal this year to be done.
We were always behind.
Always behind on that.
The new pit, the Boyden pit, just west of Fairbury, has turned gravel out tremendously. The trucks are getting loaded. There's minimal weight. Even county trucks are turning 4 to 5 rounds a day if we're on that side of town or on that side of county. So, which if we're on the southwest side, we can hit 5 rounds if the weight is over there at the Boyden pit.
And the wind's blowing just right.
And the wind and the sun's shining just right.
Actually, you know, overall, the roads.
Don't say
watch
it.
What I say here.
Don't say it.
But the roads, township and county, are probably in the best shape that I can remember, too.
How are the county roads? How are you on material on the actual county road?
We've got roughly 25 to 30 miles of gravel down on our maintained roads.
And how are you looking on spot rock?
Very minimal spot rock here lately. The rains that we have had have been shedding off quite nice to where we haven't really needed a whole lot of spot rock.
Thank you, Mark.
While you're up there, this might be something for you and Emily. I was trying to remember what I was going to ask. The earmark grant for Congressman Smith, that one will be paving the Odell Blacktop
and the
Christ Lutheran. Any indication on direction as far as process,
how we
can get started on that?
We are, I'm working with NDOT to get a sample contract to, because we did the RFQ to select Manelli as our engineer. So we need to get a contract from NDOT and modify it to fit our agreement with them, get that signed, then the NEPA lady can work with our engineers to keep moving forward. We just actually got an email yesterday. We got assigned somebody new from HUD, so I need to get them your information, too, so that they can ask questions there.
How many million dollars was that?
5.4.
So that's $5.4 million of maintenance in Gage County that will not be on the tax roll. And will not be on a bond for the people, too. So the sooner we could do that, the better. I know we're just waiting on the feds, but
it takes a while. We have to go through there's a DRGR system where we have to fill out all the information. We have to get those contracts in place, and it all has to be done in a certain
Is that something
order.
We do, or is that something we have SEND do? Or
I started it. I think SEND's currently working on it. And then I've got to get the contract because the SEND does not deal with the contracts. So I'm trying to get one, hopefully by next meeting, to finalize that RFQ selection with Manelli, so that they can move forward with that work.
Fantastic! Another piece of road over there for Terry. Thank you, Mark. Senator Dorn wants to come down and visit on this valuation discussion. I don't know if we want to touch base with him and see if he's going to make it. For now, we'll just skip ahead and keep that on hold in case he is going to make it. We'll hopefully know shortly. Approve or disapprove agreement with Advanced Correctional Health, Inc., July 1, 25 through June 30th, 26. You have a copy of these in front of you.
Here's what,
this is an increase. Roger, do you want to touch on details on this?
And then basically, as you indicate, there's an increase in here, approximately $6,000. And this, as talking with Sheriff Gustin, Gus, how long have you had this company service the medical needs?
We've had them for years.
Yeah, and I mean it's basically, you know, it's a lot of money, but I can remember we didn't have this and the costs were higher.
Well, a lot of this led to it because the clinic at the time, they had clinics in town.
And you might
look comfortable.
As I read through this first time, it had this little bump in there of $39,000.
Yep.
If the person servicing our jail gets to their RN status.
Correct. Yeah. It's forced. The company's getting forced nationwide to go to RNs because of the liability for them.
Yeah.
So we told them that bump comes up, we negotiated appropriate back down to LPN rate till she gets her degree in RN.
Okay.
You're working on it now.
So
I thought we had an RN before, though.
Well, we have a doctor, nurse practitioner, and LPN. LPN's on the grounds throughout the week. Other ones are occasionally are on phone is how it's set up.
Basically working with the regulations.
Mm.
Kind of like if you go to a nursing home, is the doctor always there?
No.
Just be careful when you get sick.
So that's a good gig, get your RN and get double your schooling paid for in the first year.
Like everybody else, they can't get people, so.
Do we need that person to be an RN?
No.
But the company is because of liability.
Yeah.
The company requires it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it might be something to look at a different company.
So the 6% raise does not count.
A $6,000 raise does not count that.
But it's 6% basically, right?
I don't know.
So if the RN goes up, her wages go up, that's on top of.
That's an additional $40,000 or an additional 50%.
Yeah.
30, 35.
Yeah, in my mind, this is 6%. I could be off.
I think that's pretty close.
You're off.
And again, it's one of those things. I think like next year, definitely put this out and see if there's any other bidding.
I was going to say,
I have no idea in this area.
We're kind of late in the game on changing this.
Yeah, there's not a lot of people out there. They're all over the country. I mean,
it's like the other contract we got with the EPC stuff. It'd be nice to see competition.
It would be.
But I will say, even with those kind of dollars, we don't like them. And I'm not even going to pretend it's not a hose job. It's a hose job. It still saves us money having them come in. Our other option is we have to run them up to the hospital. The sheriff can avoid the trips back and forth to the hospital this way by having someone come in or do triage over the phone. This is still a cost savings over our alternative unless we can find another provider to give us this service.
Well, the clinics, people get uneasy with being inmates, and so we started looking at these folks. We have mobile X come in, do x-rays on almost everything we can here, so we hardly ever go to the hospitals unless we absolutely have to. It just has worked out better for us and cheaper. So. Changing times.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens to approve the agreement with Advanced Correctional Health Care, Inc., July 1, 25 to June 30, 26. Any discussion?
It's too late to do anything right now, but I think we ought to, 6 months into this, maybe review.
Even now?
Yeah.
Start looking.
We ought to review this again before.
That's a good idea. See what else is out there.
Choose
All right, motion by Dorn, second by Juergens. If there's no additional discussion, please vote.
Demons abstaining.
6 in favor, motion carries. And just this one will take a little while. Discuss, approve, or disapprove having the county attorney send a letter to Volkscape's bonding company. This is after the discussion that we had with on Monday. Mr. Adams had talked about this, and the potential would be Volkscape's is way behind on their work. They're supposed to be done November 1st, 2024. They had basically the majority of last year, 6 months in 24 to do it. They didn't complete the work. They didn't complete it this spring. They were awarded a contract extension to May 1st and then June 1st. We are now at June 25th.
I believe that was bid out in April.
April of 24.
24. They had a completion of November 1. They started, I believe, in end of August, early October.
There's one fewer structures, too, which would be an additional 45 days shorter, which that wasn't reduced either. But in fairness to them, the board did allow them a June 1st completion. Out of the five structures remaining, one is open?
Two
are open
two
now.
Two are open for sure. Third can be open.
They have a small liquidated damage penalty per structure per day. The conversation was, do we send a letter to the bonding company? And I don't know what you wanted that letter to say, with the displeasure of the untimeliness?
I think it's time we question it. We granted them a lot of grace. I feel I, for one, when the vote came on in whatever time to extend it to May, that we could not find anybody probably to finish it. And if we did, the cost would be X number of dollars higher. We probably should have looked at pulling the bond at that point. In hindsight, I made a mistake of not suggesting the bond pull. Well, I guess I brought it up in the discussion, but it should have been so I don't know what you want to say. It's been a long time since I've entered that arena of somebody's bonds, Roger. And I know it's damaging to them, but I also know it's damaging to the county and the people that live in that community. So where is the fine line of You do a job in Gage County, we expect it done in timely fashion, or you do a job in Gage County, you get it done when you choose to. So I think that's where I'm at right now.
This one was a critical timeline, too. It ended up not being, but the reason there was an important time date stamp of November 1st was due to some grant requirements. Those ended up going away, or this would have been bad. But we put, and we let them know in the bid, additional weight was put on the timing of completion. So that was something else that was specified in the bidding process.
I think at the time when we had discussed the bond in the early, you know, it was about a month or two ago, I mean, they were very adamant that they were going to have it done
June 1st.
June 1st. And now we're nearing July 1st. So.
And two more structures to go, yeah, correct?
Two more structures to pave.
So
they've got a total of five paving days is what they got.
So that area has missed 1 year of harvest. When I say harvest, the roads being able to use for harvest.
They're on route for another one.
Exactly right. The rate they're going, they're en route for another harvest myth.
We also have one of the structures, at least. I mean, it's a real impediment to the people that live right there, one of the Sims properties. I mean, if they're out in the middle of nowhere, it's a little different as well. But I guess, Counselor, what is your thought on this? Do we send a letter to the bonding company? Do we verbalize our displeasure on this, or what would your recommendation?
Displeasure is one thing. I mean, you basically make a claim or you don't. And having represented bond companies, they like to know they got a problem. because then they start looking for cover. And it may be these guys, I don't know. You know, I mean, that goes back to who's available on a short-term notice to fix a road.
We may not find
out
to finish it.
Yeah. But again, bonding companies like to know what's sitting out there. And I would suggest, so that we don't completely sever everything, to go back, go in and, you know, I can talk to their counsel and say, here's what we got. Then follow it up with a letter so that we structure the thing towards getting it resolved, and that is getting the roads open, the project's done.
Ms. Axby.
And the bonding company should be working with us on that because time's money and liquidated damages.
Well, I mean, they're incurring liquidated damages at this point, but what there's only two structures left to pour, one of which has been open. It just has chat rock on it. So we're just pouring that one. And that one is a big pour. How many feet of concrete is that?
The 1240?
Yeah.
600 feet.
And you said that was going to be done in four pours.
Yeah.
And when are they starting on that?
They were hoping to do it on Monday morning. The rain scared them away. Then the rain over here, I'm, as soon as I'm done here, I'm heading up there to see if they're pouring.
So. I will say, like, I did go look at what they've done so far on that one, and it does look very nice. They're doing very good work. It's just the timing needs to be a little bit more efficient. And it's really disappointing to see that has not been done yet.
So, I mean, this item specifically, what we need to do is, I mean, if we want the letter sent or... If we do, we need to give specifics, or if we just have the counselor call, as he suggested, there are repercussions for our actions.
You're going to put stuff in motion when that happens. Usually it's the old kick, and it just kind of works its way down.
5 days of work left?
If weather's perfect, yes.
But I think I definitely think you want to notify them.
It's probably not worth sending.
You're costing them money because they can't cover.
There's five pours left.
Then they'll be throwing
it. It's going to turn into probably 10 days.
No. Should have called us in June.
And the seeding and striping. I mean,
well, and they said that they would have it. They guaranteed us multiple times that they would be done this year in June.
We chose to hold off.
But that's good faith on our part. I think that continues.
Do you call the bonding company's attorney then, or do you call the contractor's attorney?
In the bond thing, let's jump over, because they've already been up here. You guys talked to them. I don't know how much more. That's up to you if you want to bring it back in for another discussion.
Mark, were they aware of having this discussion today? No.
I spoke with Manili Wagner, and I stated that you guys were looking at the possibility of possibly pulling the bond, and that's as far as I went with that.
I think maybe if it was communicated to them, though, that this is part of the discussion, that might light another fire, too.
With them being on liquidated damages, there's not that many dollars of actual... The bonding company is required to finish the project if the contractor and the owner can't come to an agreement. The contractor is moving forward. I don't know that there's a situation at this point where a bond can... I mean, you can always pull a bond and someone else can come in and do the work.
Yeah. Typically, when we make a claim on a bond, the person on the other side is left or gone bankrupt or something like that. Then you don't have any choice.
Right.
This one, if you're still negotiating with them, working with them.
We'd rather see it completed than pursue it.
Would you like to see Roger contact the bonding company's attorney and just let him know what's going on then, that this is a year behind schedule, still not done, but they are making progress?
I don't have any problem doing that.
I'm comfortable with that.
I mean, that may help a little more fire, too.
Yes.
I think we just all want to see the work done at this point. We're like, so close. It's been closed way too long.
One other thing that's aggravating, it sounds like they thought they had a very low penalty, so they just blew it off.
Is there, in the future, is that something that we can adjust?
It can be. I mean, you hate penalizing because...
But if they're...
These guys generally won't pay a penalty. You know, they just add it into the price, and then they use it as a bonus if they get done sooner.
But if they...
I mean, that's what ends up happening. Municipalities try to get tough, and contractors just laugh at them. I mean, in all seriousness.
It. Yeah, it's on the back end.
It's just like a bond. So these are probably bonded at approximately, I'm going to guess, a rough number of 2%. So we paid 2% more on every project we do forever, and we'll never collect a penny of that, more than likely. So we've only increased our cost, more or less. We've basically bought insurance. So we're buying an insurance on the front side, but we're just paying additional dollars. So it's a...
Not sure it's worth pursuing with 5 days or whatever, 10 days left. It's just maybe it should have been considered a lot earlier.
We'll see if that actually happens, though.
Like I said, there's approximately 10 working days, and then we've got wait for concrete breaks, which that mix, it's anywhere from 7 to 15 days to break its strength.
And if they were in a relatively close amount of time, I would say we don't even get them on the wait days. You know, I would say we would be more than willing to work back and forth with them.
I'm following spec of 3,500 PSI at a break, and I think that's where we keep it at. Just my opinion, and that's what we requested, and I think that's where we keep it at.
I'm comfortable with that too. If Roger would just,
I will make a motion to have the county attorney contact the bond company with respects to displeasure of Voidscape's performance.
Second.
Moved by Adams, second by Claybaugh. Roger, contact Voidscape's bonding company's attorney and discuss our displeasure over
their
tardiness.
Yeah.
Lack of performance.
The performance has been okay. It's the timely.
It's been rough. Any discussion on this?
Over their lack of performance.
Lack of performance and displeasure.
That's their attorney.
Their bonding company's attorney.
The bonding company's
attorney. And I don't know who their bonding company is.
We'll have a copy. Paperwork. I'll get a copy from Don.
That's the least we do.
There should be a contact person, maybe their attorney, my vice president, general counsel.
Additional comment, question on this? If not, please vote. 5 in favor with Dorn voting no. Motion carries. Senator Dorn, you think he'll make it down in time?
Do you want to give him a call, or did you get a text?
She did. We do have discussion on the fiscal year 25-26 county budget. We were talking before the meeting a little bit. We have requests coming in from different sides. David Norton again called. He would like to see more money for the Historical Society. Who's the lady with Carmen? What?
Hinman.
Carmen Hinman would like to see $20,000 to Hope Crisis. Multiple other agencies have requested funds or additional funds. The Ag Society's asked for additional funds different times. What we've done the last multiple years, and I think it's somewhere around 6 years now, we've kept funding to a flat rate for each organization. Hope Crisis was actually taken off of our funded organizations list, because the legislature did not allow for us to give money to that specific organization. Legislation changed last year where the county can fund them now. I just reiterate to the board, everyone that comes and talks to us, whether it's valuations, tax asking, whatever it is, keep tax asking down, keep tax asking down. It's my feeling it's our job to maintain roads, bridges, services that we're required to, such as the courts, the sheriff's department. Everybody wants money for different items, and those items may be important. And I'm really in favor of people donating to those privately and charitably. We don't give charitable money out as a county. We take money from people, and then we reallocate it. So if we're going to take it and give it to someone, we need to be able to always justify it. There are a lot of places we fund, but just make sure whatever we don't give charity out. You do that out of your own pocket. We don't do it out of someone else's pocket for them. If they want to do it, they're always more than welcome to. Budget discussion. Any organizations you'd like to fund, not fund? Mr. Juergens.
I've had conversations with different people. I don't think I would be in favor of funding the Hope Crisis this year. I've had different people conversations in that area that I won't go into it, but I would be in favor.
It's scary.
Organizations like the Historical Society. Dave asked if we'd like him to come talk to us. Now, a lot of these places, I'm sure they talk to you guys, they'll talk to me. My answer is usually, we'll see, we'll talk about it, and I'll bring it to you guys. Do you want them to come in and present to us so that you hear things from them instead of it coming from me? I mean, whatever decision we make, it doesn't matter what I think. It ends up being what the board says, so... Do you want them to come and present to all of you so that you can see what they're doing, how they're doing it, why they want additional funds?
I don't necessarily mind if we hear from those people in front of the board. If they want to come in, just kind of limit the time, you know, keep it fair for everybody. I don't want to give somebody a half an hour while somebody talks for 3 minutes, you know, try to keep it consistent.
Would you like me to run it by you on each of these as we have different people asked to come in? So Historical Society.
I don't think it would hurt to have people come in and give us, you know, 5 minutes and let's hear from them.
Hope Crisis. Not all at once. We don't have to treat all organizations the same.
I think anybody that wants to come, we give, just say 5 minutes to...
And I have not done that in the past. And our board changes. You know, a couple people makes a big difference.
I think Hope has requested 20 minutes.
I'm saying five. If we open it up, and I don't see any reason why we don't, we're here to hear from them. Just say give each of them 5 minutes if they want to come in.
Okay. Do you have any others that specifically have asked to come talk?
No.
Well, let's have the opportunity to share their requests and their programs and their wants on paper to us so we can review it and look at it. And then if we have questions, we have the ability to bring them back. So
I'll let each of them know they can come in and present for 5 minutes. If there are additional questions from the board, it may run longer then. But we'll give them 5 minutes without our interjection, if that's all right with you. While we're on budget, what are your thoughts? I mean, each year we look at how do we go through and streamline budgets. Currently, we're in the county's allowed to pull 50 mills. We are currently, with everything that's added in, all the other outside organizations, including townships and all, we're around 39 mills last year. Is that correct? Real rough numbers. We'll just talk rough numbers. The townships, the county, most everyone, Ag Society and those, they're set at a different mill levy under that. The only one that's sitting in a flat, which would be a lineal line, would be basically our rural fires. Our rural fires are at 3 mills. So every dollar that your valuation goes up, they get that 3 mil off of that. So their budget doesn't fluctuate. In theory, if valuation goes way up, everyone lowers their mill levy and you take what you need. The way they're set up, it goes up at a flat mill levy rate. For the first time ever, 3 years ago, we saw rural fires start decreasing their tax asking. just because as the valuations have climbed so high, there's getting to be a huge amount of money coming in to some of these organizations. We're allowing that. What are your thoughts on looking at decreasing some of our allowed mill levies that we hand out? Mr. Jurgens.
Fire districts especially, and what you quoted was exactly right, their mill levy doesn't change. It stays at 3. Down through the years, we've had certain fire districts opt to not request that type of money. In most cases, you go back 20 years to now, the fire districts are, I shouldn't say flush with money, but well-equipped. Most of them are well-equipped, and there is a, just speaking from experience, there's a fund balance there that's growing. Go ahead.
Just want to add on that, like, I mean, we want them well-equipped, right, for when we need those instances. There is something with that, though. I think it's with, and we touched on it a little bit, where they have to stay at that certain level, like
once every 3 years.
Once every three. I want to dig a little bit more into that because it may not be that they necessarily all stayed at that. It's that they might have been required to be at that instead of lower. I want to ask some questions on how that works.
Agreement. That they all agree to.
They're not required to at all. It's an agreement between the different fires.
It's not the way I had heard about it from
and they don't
before.
Have
and I know like somebody that works directly one with that.
You think somebody else requires them to do that?
But then the other
like,
years they don't.
By the city, yeah.
MFO.
But it doesn't have to be
three MFO?
I guess I want to see that. I want to dig a little bit more before we decide to.
Based off insurance, correct?
No, it's a fundraising mechanism for it. Somehow they put an agreement together, and I don't know how it works either. They pool something. I remember there was discussion. Do you remember how this works with Beatrice?
Lisa, do you know?
Eric?
Mr. Jurgens.
Go back what I remember. When Breslow was in office, I mean, he was what was his job? Breslow.
Auditor.
When he was in office, there was an insurance fund that was paid, like a more at-risk community would pay a higher insurance cost. There was a fund balance that got to be large at the state, okay? And so that money started going out to the local fire districts, but they were equally funded at the time. And that is still there in place, I do believe. You know, there's a lot of money comes down to the state, to the fire districts. But that fund or that balance in there, insurance balance, shall we call it, has gotten smaller. And I think a requirement to get that money from the state was a requirement that you had the three mills. That's been years ago when Breslow was in office that this started.
Mutual Finance Assistance Act.
Okay. Lisa's, I think, Benato's meeting. There's meetings that they have, right, to
sure.
work on this?
So that agreement has been, the city of Beatrice oversees that through Chief Dakey, and he works with all the fire departments now. So mutual funding organization. So it's a state statute that's allocating, you know, with that pool of money, and then each department asks for that. Evaluated up to 3 cents, I believe, is what it is.
That's only Gage County townships and, Gage County rural fires.
Only rural fires, yeah, that is correct. Well, the city of Beatrice also receives that, but they take that minimum level. But just, you know, we talk about the pool. One of the things that I want to share with you is, even though they have a extra pool of money there, keep in mind, you know, equipment, a truck right now, you know, a Type 6 truck is going to run you $450,000. If they don't have the allocations, you know, in there, they're going to continue to pool that money until they get enough funding there to offset that. So sometimes it seems like they have a large amount of money, but they're just waiting till they can get enough funding in there to allocate that purchase, and that could be taking up to 5 to 6 years before they get it.
There are some grants available, I know,
yep,
for replacement of equipment. We just finished a tanker truck, a brand new one for Diller Fire.
Yep.
But they kept their old tank. We just switched over.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind if they have the money, they can spend it. I mean, that's any organization. I'm just saying we're not required, that I know, to do that. We could take all the funding away, say we're not going to allocate you anything. Right now we give them 3 mils, so our tax asking from the county is 0.266 this year. With everyone else in, with all the allocations we allow out, we're at 375, so we're a little less than I thought for mill levy. We could take that 3 mil allocation to the rural fires completely away. Their funding mechanism then, instead of being 3 mils, they're allowed to go to a vote of the people and go up to 10 mils.
I'm not in favor of that. I mean,
I'm not either.
That's not what I'm saying. But the, and Lisa might know more, but it had to be, the 3 cent had to be unanimous through all the districts.
Once everybody every 3 years.
Everybody, yeah, whatever the years are now. It didn't used to be that way, but it had to be unanimous because I know the Del Fire District,
Participate. Yep.
And we got some heated phone calls from other people.
Because each of these things, I think it's responsible for us to look at all of our allocations that we allow out, whether it's townships, we allow 7.5 mils. Now, no one's at 7.5, but that's what we allow. Just going through these, I think every year when we look at our budget, we do need to look at each of these allocations, though, that we do give out, because they are important. They all add up. It wasn't long ago a mill was $250,000. Now a mill, I think, if I remember right, it's closer to
420,
450. So, I mean, that value, it keeps climbing, and...
But that's the why we, you know, change our levies and adjust it accordingly. Not all boards do that.
Rural fire does not, though. That's why that one popped into my mind, is just because that one is a lineal instead of a reactionary. No decision to be made on this today, just throwing it out there, asking you guys to make sure that you're reviewing each of the places we do fund. I'll tell Historical Society to come talk to us for 5 minutes. Hope Crisis, 5 minutes. As we get additional requests, we'll give them that same courtesy. And if we have additional questions, we'll give them more time. Anything else for the county budget?
You might, when you invite those, isn't there a 501c3 requirement for those outside funding? I was thinking that was part of the compromise with the legislature. Yeah. Just because there might be some people, they start seeing that, they think, hey, save the time that if you're not, and I'm not sure, I'd have to pull that law and double check, but I think I recalled something. Just make sure that he.
And some were statutorily required to fund.
Sure.
Those we're going to fund at the levels that we're required to. If there's a change, say, in Region 5, Region 5 services, we will bring that to you. You know, we've gone outside of what we're required to do with them at times. All right, nothing else for county board budget talk. We will go back. I'm sorry? Gus wants to talk in closed session. We have a few folks from the public, so I'd rather. Oh, you want to talk about your budget in open session, Gus?
Well, I had personnel for closed. If you want to talk about budget.
If you'd come up and just give us your. What you've got for budget now.
Appreciate you reducing it so much this year, Gus.
I will say, though, the sheriff has worked within his budget the last, I think this is the third year in a row where we haven't gone over. We've worked within what's allocated. Take it away, sir.
Just a couple things.
In the days passed before you were on the board, budgets were up and running July 1 years ago. It's hard for me to figure out what I'm going to do when we don't know anything until they're down the road. But I want to give you some ideas of expenses this year. I just can't stave off anymore. We're going to have to have handguns. That's been 20-plus years. That's probably about $15,000. Ammunition, we're going to be around $13,000. Body cameras, we're at our end of our life. The ones we have, there's just no more fixing to them. Roughly $40,000 a year over 5 years. I think if a guy paid for it up front, you'd save a little bit that way. I'm still finalized what that might be, but as Roger knows, if we don't have that, it doesn't happen anymore. So we've got to have that. Of course, the other one hit me up hard, I didn't know about, and already submitted to Don, was the Windows 11 for the office. That's $31,000. When we started with IT, I only put $1,000 on the budget, so I really never knew what I'm going to have. Oh, that's something that's going to be there. We're going to talk about at some point as well.
Wait, Gus, can you clarify Windows 11?
Yeah.
Like, when I've updated like my Windows before, and it's just a free update.
On the budget sheet, Don's got to put
his. I don't think his computers will accept.
So his are new computers.
It needs computers, not Windows.
It's computers because of Windows 11.
Yes,
the Windows.
To make it compatible with 11.
With Windows 11. Okay. Because yes. I was like, I've updated Windows before.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
And whether you have to have it right now, but that's what they say you should have. Jones's Automotive, the vehicles that I had budget work done for this last budget and get done until now this next budget. So I'm going to have to look at doing something on that because I had to put in for two cars to replace, one additional because I needed one for the deputy to replace the school resource deputy. So that's causing some issues. Good news is I'm going to keep tasers one more year. We're out of time on it, but they're still working, so we're going to keep going that route. Rick,
when you say out of time, is there an expiration date on
there? There is. They usually go about 5 to 6 years is a time frame. That means if you're making payments, your payments are done, the warranty's done, and useful life's done on it. They won't do much work on it. That's how they kind of get you on it. So you've got to start looking at doing something different. These have been doing pretty good yet, so we're going to keep that way.
Going back on that first one, the handguns you said were 20 years old, and I have no problem with that. But, I mean, typically guns retain their value well. So trade-in.
Trade-in is figured in on the price.
Trade-in is figured in?
Yep, that's figured in. We took a low price.
School resource officer, we're buying them a new car now and new equipment and stuff. We are going to feel that out. The schools were going to decide if they thought that was worthwhile and contribute. Did the schools decide that they're going to contribute to that?
Well, I don't know if they were told that there'd be different expense there. That's something we'll have to be decided. I'll have to ask them if they want to fund it differently, because that's not built into the current contract.
They currently
can't be, and it's just so we'll have to ask. Because it is it's sizable. I mean, when you got to get, we might get some other equipment over here that we have, but it won't be the full car. So it's going to take a little bit.
If handguns are outdated, ammunition, body cams, I'm assuming those have the same thing where they're going to tell you they're good from this date to this date?
They're done, I think, end of this month, actually, is their period of time is done.
Yeah. And then the new computers there, unfortunately, those are all their cost of doing business. So.
I worked out with Gus right along next Wednesday. Evening?
Thursday,
Wednesday? So I rode with my cousin, who's the state trooper, to see how their system works for the citations, and then learned that through that, though, we could actually cut down our calls for service through dispatch, which has been something that's been a point of...
Because all that is record, the record keeping is in place
without
a person touching it, though.
Correct.
That's one of my major concerns, Sheriff. We bought a bunch of equipment and then we don't use it. Such as our e-citations, our in-car computers.
We have
years of that stuff we bought them and we purchased them. We got the equipment for the guys and then they sat in boxes and no one used them.
That's just how far behind Jones is. I mean, it's just, they sat there and shuffled and they called us, so we've got to get started as we transition to cars. It's getting so bad. I just talked to the sheriff in Madison County. He's looking at taking his cars to a place in Minnesota that is a lot cheaper and quicker turnaround. People are just looking at whatever they can do because it just really screws up your budget even when you have to wait.
We actually had equipment sit so long it became obsolete, though, and we couldn't use it anymore.
Well, the only thing we'd have is that way would be the citations that are still current. I mean, nothing changed on that I'm aware of, so that's still.
So all the computers that we had sitting there for years, those are all installed now?
Computers.
They're all working currently, but I believe they're outdated now, which was the comment I made when Klaus was in here. I told him they were going to be outdated before we even get to use them. So
we did actually get them installed before they were outdated by 1 year.
Yeah.
So they sat there for how many years?
I think two.
Close to that, yeah.
That's my fear is I don't want to – if we need stuff, I don't think anybody wants to hold back at all, but the employees thought we hadn't purchased it. We had purchased it, and it was all just sitting there.
With the computers, I'd like to – I'm curious because those what we had purchased that time was like the rugged version of that.
Correct.
And unless you're doing 90 through a field of terraces, I'm wondering if we can get away with like a very similar type of computer sitting in there.
Those aren't as cool.
I know. They're not as cool, but they're half the price. So, I mean, it'd be worth maybe trialing it in one and just see how they hold up.
I don't know. Because see, the able will take that out and go out.
I don't know. So
have they ever done it though?
The reason I say this is that's what they recommended when I for soil testing. It was the same computer, right? For driving around through a field and taking soil samples. And I was like, I could not justify that cost, so I bought the same version in the not rugged form, and I put it in my UTV, and I can drive around bouncing through a field, and it works just fine.
I've seen those, like you're talking the Panasonic Toughbooks.
Well, yeah, it's like a Toughbook, yeah.
They put those on Somero laser screeds and stuff, which is great because they're in the sun every day, all day long. They're sprayed with water. They have concrete on them. That's about the only situation I've ever seen them really work well in.
I guess I just don't know anybody that doesn't use anything but the rugged.
I didn't know if it'd be worth trying just one, just to see if it lasts.
But I guess, like I say, any of these items that are necessary, we're going to have to budget for them. We couldn't have ever had a budget working July 1 just because the state legislature is. We can't even approve our budget until when?
September.
So it's impossible.
I don't know.
It's backwards. We're working off of a budget July 1, but we legally can't approve one until September. But these items, if you need them, I really want to avoid buying stuff, though, that we're not going to use. We've gotten way better at it, but these computers are a perfect example. E-citations, we had to have them. We've bought them, and now I believe they've been boxed in the office there for a year and a half, 2 years?
Probably at least over a year. Well, they're all out in the cars now. See, the problem you have is when we went to IT, I asked, they can't do anything for installation. They'll work on stuff later on, maybe, but not that. So here you go, the waiting game to get into up there in Omaha, and it is a long waiting game.
Because they only do IT. They don't do installation. We had some confusion over what IT was and what hardware install was, I think.
And you said the e-citation, though, is in.
They're in the last few cars we've got. Now they're waiting. They got to schedule first, come down from the state, and train on it. That's the next phase.
I want to see what they're training it on, like which program, because if we can duplicate that with that system that we already have and lower our calls for service, I think it would be very, very beneficial.
As long as we don't lose the ability to record those calls.
No, you wouldn't. It's the same program we have currently. It would just be like an additional subscription. So I just want to see if we can maybe duplicate the use of one program.
Does the city do that? I mean, are they on e-citation?
I believe they are. I think
e-citation is required by the state.
It is.
About 3 years ago, they gave us a warning that it was coming.
But the city, have they converted over?
I think they have.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
The State Patrol had it first.
We have them, though.
Then we spent the money to get that because we had the budget for that stuff. Well, we were all required to do it. We had to upgrade in our office. Yeah.
But we haven't done it yet. We have the equipment. I didn't know if the city has switched over and started using it.
Yeah.
We get the same stuff. See, that's part of the problem we had with our new IT people. They screwed it up. And I'll just put it bluntly. You know how I think about that. You know, leave my computers alone if you ain't going to fix them. And we went through about 3 days, and everybody does this. It's hardware. No, it's software. No, it's a programmer. We finally got it figured out.
But we're not using it yet.
Not yet. They're installed. Lumber installed, just not using
so
it.
So that's
what I say e-filing.
E-citations.
You're talking about your citations?
The citations.
They come through our office.
Oh, see, it's something might be working.
It's scanned in.
They're scanned in. We still aren't using the e-citation.
Right.
We've got the equipment, and we never started using it.
I don't know where I'm getting these from.
They manually scan everything in.
Scanning them.
Yeah,
they're scanning them.
So we've added an additional step with additional equipment, and we don't use it. That's what I really want to avoid. If we're going to spend tens of thousands of dollars and not use it, let's spend that on something we use.
Comes down to getting stuff installed. That's what it all boils down to. You know, everybody goes to that one place almost anymore, so it's bad.
I had a software program when I got up there that Randy had purchased, but they never installed it. We installed it, and off we went. So a lot of that stuff is just getting people trained.
They went to the same place I know in the past.
So that's done then.
Anything else for your budget, Sheriff, that you see that's unusual?
The only thing, I probably didn't budget enough for part-time right now because I'm transitioning over from lesser people in the front office. So I got two part-timers that will need to be phased out. But I want to be able to get a part-time, full-time to be redundancy. So when the other one I hired leaves, I've got somebody there to kind of fill the void. So I'll probably have to talk to Don and figure something out on that. Probably a little more.
Did you put approximately the same wage in before for over in that front office?
I haven't put wages in.
You'll probably be way over because we actually got rid of a person over there. So I bet you'd be surprised how much extra you have.
I should, yes. And I have, I think one was over 20, I think.
We'll go back through it.
By the way, that's the main expense. I just want to be able, because sometimes it takes forever to get that stuff. I just want to know I can get going on it now.
Does anyone have any issue with Gus moving forward with looking at guns, new sidearms? it's your actual pistols, your service
handgun, yeah.
Your handguns, additional ammunition, body cams. What did I write down here?
And they're still working on the in-cars. Some of the in-cars are working. They're trying to tweak that out yet. So.
Are we still using just more question on cost effectiveness? I know you're using 40s, right, currently?
40s are going to go to 9.
Nine. I was going to say, I think if we go to a 9, it'd be cheaper in the long run for ammo-wise.
And scores cross-country have gone up because 40 gives you a pretty good kick. 9, they're coming back down to it. So yes. And ammo is a little cheap. It's still expensive, but
it's still expensive.
That's an item you'd be okay with?
Oh, yeah.
I don't want us to tell you what size.
I just remembered I think he had mentioned it, so that's why I was asking.
Can we get some boom booms, too?
Some what?
Can we get some boom booms, too? Anybody else?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we all should have them.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. Anything for you?
Glad you listened to me.
I did somewhat.
All right. We'll end that budget discussion then. We will move back. We've got a closed session afterwards for contract negotiation. That'll involve the sheriff also. But discussion on valuation process versus taxes. This will be discussion, not address individual property questions. Would you ask for Patty to come back down here, or her and some of her staff? This discussion item, one of the things we wanted to go over was how taxation versus valuation works. Valuations have been going up everywhere at a fairly, other than on ag land. Years ago, it was ag land was climbing at an astronomical rate. The ag prices just kept climbing. They've more stabilized. Now, as the assessor's office is going through the residential, commercial, those are climbing at a very rapid pace right now. With folks not being happy with valuations the last few years, we hired an outside source to take the assessor's office and move them back a little bit, bring someone from the outside for objectivity, which the assessor's office is also objective, but as those are coming through, those values are going up even more. And we're being told with the sales that are happening next year will be an additional increase. The valuations going up are supposed to be in response to sales. The tax asking has nothing to do with that valuation. If the taxing bodies are looking at their budgets responsibly, we don't look at our valuation and then decide what we can ask for. We look at what we need, and then we put that together, and then once the valuation comes in, then we apply our tax asking to that valuation, and we get that mill levy. The mill levy could go up dramatically by the rules. That's not the way that we do it. Hopefully no taxing body does that. Patty, do you want to touch on how you guys have, you and MIPS, have gone through and begun the reevaluation? Because we asked you to do a reassessment because people weren't happy that we weren't equalized. We don't get to set values. Your office is supposed to be equalizing out what valuations are across the county. You've hired MIPS to do that along with your staff. You've done all the outside villages in Gage County other than Beatrice. And you've started in the north working down on some of the acreages as well. You'll cover the rest of the county hopefully this year, as well as Beatrice, commercial and residential. Maybe just let us know how that's working, how the valuation process works. Senator Dorn's on his way down to also visit. He's in town now on how this is working at the legislature, what they're working on, but I guess I'll hand it over to you.
Okay, so basically my office is responsible for the valuations, and what we do is we look at all the sales that have taken place over the course of the years. So when we're talking about residential, we go back 2 years. Commercials three and agriculturals three. And so those are the things that we look at. Basically what Donna does is she gets a transfer in, tells us of the sale. The sale comes up to me, and then basically my girls put the name on it, look at what it sold for, and get a ratio. Ideally, if a residential property comes into us at $100,000, that value with the state of Nebraska should be between $92,000 and $100,000. When it's not, that puts the if it comes in at $80,000, that puts the ratio too low. One sale doesn't make a market, but several sales do. And so throughout the county, we have Beatrice, of course, is our biggest one with a lot of sales. I mean, that's a good, you know, measurement of sales. When we get into small towns, that becomes very difficult from south to north. We have influence of north, but we do have about, I think we manage about 40, 50 sales of acreages per year. Those are very, you know, very top sales as far as the land and people getting out of town on 5 acres or whatever. So we have groupings then. The groupings are like our towns, like Adams, Barnston, Blue Springs. All those groupings come down the pike and tell me what type of value we're going to put on those, whether we need to even adjust them, because you don't have very many sales in a small town like that. And so we kind of look at the south a little bit altogether, like the Liberties, the Barnstons, the Blue Springs. All along we've had appraisers, like Daryl's been with me. Josh is a new add-on that came about 2 years ago, and was with Daryl at one time. Now he's with me. There's other people that look at those that have been looking at those for years. Daryl's been here for years. And so basically we have to hit a margin of what those percentages are every year with TURC, and that's the Tax Equalization Review Commission out of Lincoln. If I don't do my due diligence and get those values up to where we need to be, then Turk will call us in for a show cause hearing. And so say I'm at 80% on Beatrice. They would immediately call me in and just raise me up to probably about a 96%, maybe even more. I don't know what they're, you know. And that wouldn't be a local level job. I feel like that's something that the local assessor needs to do to get those in place, because we know our county's a little bit better, and, you know, my people have for years. And so those are the first things that we do. The ag land is the same way, but the ag land has a percentage of 69 to 75. And most of the time we're on about a 71%. The previous assessor, Bob Toma, has been with me for a long time, and he sets those values. He is a county employee. He did have his appraiser's license, but at his age now he's let that go, but he does all the ag land for me. The commercial sets at between 92 and 100%. And one thing that's very hard about commercial is that we have different, what I want to call occupancy codes. So you have a gas station, you have a hotel, you have a apartment building. All those things are various types of properties that are somewhat hard to really know exactly what they're renting out for. You know, every year that changes, income approach. Those types of things can go into the commercial. So we have three, basically, categories that we have to hit on those percentages. And so, there you are. That's been going on for years. And, you know, some people say, well, that's not the right way to do it. You know, that's not, but that's the rules that we've been given, and that's what we go by. So we have liaisons from Lincoln that look over those things. However, there is a population of retiring people out there, so we're getting more and more new liaisons, a new tax commissioner. You know, does that kind of explain anything simply or not really? Or it's kind of a complex process.
The bad thing is this is all gray. There's no, this is the price. Senator Dorn's down to go over some additional information on this with us. We just started. We pushed everything else in front. We're just talking about how valuations work versus tax asking. Valuation, I've read on Facebook, your valuation goes up 50%, your taxes are going to go up 50%. If that's the case, every single person that you elected should be fired. I mean, that's not the way that works. And the fear is in not knowing how it works, I think, a lot of the time. We do have some groups that are not as frugal as other groups that do raise taxes based on what they're allowed to. There are some new caps in place now that the legislature passed this last session, and I don't know if you want to touch on those, Senator?
I will touch on whatever you want
morning,
me to
way.
First. Myron Dorn, 15717 East Aspen Road, Adams, Nebraska. So, yeah. We did put some caps in place. We did last year during our special session last summer, LB 34 was passed. We did increase some amount that the state is now contributing to property taxes, but we did put a 3% cap on the budget process, on the budget, not the tax asking, but the budget process. We put a 3% cap, except there are some I call it exemptions for that or whatever. For instance, any city or county, the safety aspect can be outside of that, or it's kind of, it doesn't fall under the 3% cap. So it does and it doesn't. I've had some conversations with Don a little bit and stuff. Schools, they are under the 3% cap now too, except they have or allowed for growth. In other words, if they have 10% growth in students, there's some leeways and stuff in there for growth for that, or some, I call it extra things that occur that don't normally occur, like if they had a building issue, a big building issue that cost a bunch of money. There's certain things for schools that will fall outside that cap. This is the first time, though, that we've had that 3% cap in. As you guys know, in counties, they've been limited the tax asking or the tax collection by 2.5% or a supermajority vote of the board, 3.5%. So they've always had that and stuff. So you're somewhat limited the way it is, but now schools and some of these others have never had this cap, this 3% cap on. But like I said, there are exceptions to those or exemptions to those or whatever. So that had a few people visit with me, and they are definitely aware of that. Yes, as valuations have went up in Gage County, approximately 25% ag land. Johnson County, that similar area, 22 to 25%. Lancaster County went up 42% in ag land and stuff. So don't know exactly why, but that does not correlate 100% to an increase in property taxes of that same amount. It's still up to the local entities, the cities, the counties. I think there's 9 on the tax roll or something on the tax thing, NRDs and all of those. It's up to them now to lower their levy so that that budget process can't theoretically go beyond the 3% cap, so they'll lower it. There was just an article yesterday in the Lincoln paper, Lincoln Public Schools, which has been for years when valuations went up. They stayed at the dollar and a nickel. That's what they were at. Stayed there all the time, so their taxes went up by what the valuations went up. Article in the paper in the last couple days I read, they're lowering their levy by 7 cents from down to 93 cents. That's what they're lowering their levy by.
Were they required to?
Part of it is the 3% cap. Part of it is they're just holding spending there. I'm just reading the article and quoting the article in the paper or whatever and stuff. So they part of it, though, and schools are a little bit different because of, I call it equalization aid that the state gives through TEOSA or whatever. Because Lincoln has, when I started up there 7 years ago, Lincoln was at $140 million in equalization aid. This last year, I believe they were down under $30 million or in that neighborhood of $30 million. They will increase that by $10 million next year again. Equalization aid used to be that, well, and it still is, your needs minus your resources, and then the state will pick up the equalization aid or whatever to help you balance that budget. So Lincoln Public Schools has been going down for years because they're becoming a little bit more valuable or more property valuable, so they haven't had that same balancing issue, so they've gone down. But according to the article in the paper, they will pick up $10 million additional dollars from the state this year in equalization aid. So that's a little bit how they got to lower it, but also their valuations went up enough in their district that, yes, to hold the budget in that 3% and with some other things, that's what they're lowering it by. Most schools, especially in the counties that have had higher valuation increases, they should be lowering their levies now.
This isn't popular always, I know, but the way to keep our – Lincoln's an example as their tax base has expanded.
Yes.
They have more people paying, you know, a reduced amount versus – it might not be a huge reduction, but they've spread that tax base. Mm-hmm. That's how – our costs are going to go up in the county and everywhere else every year. I guarantee it. What we can do to keep our tax asking down, manage it responsibly, but also – as projects come in, we need to get behind these projects that bring in hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars. Those offset the taxes that everyone else pays. Adams is a good example. E-Energy Adams just came off a TIF. Yeah. I believe they got $230,000 additional, $230,000 into the village from E-Energy Adams last year, year before now. Those projects help offset our taxes. So I know people don't like trains, windmills, gas lines, all these things. They're not exactly bad. They do help us overall. That was my one jab quick, Emily. Go ahead.
But one quick comment on that. Statewide ag land went up a little over 14, almost 15%. That's statewide on an average. Statewide, we went up a little bit over 9% in valuation statewide without any new growth. That's not counting any new buildings or whatever. Statewide, 9%, a little bit over 9% new valuation growth, not new, excuse me, I phrased that wrong. 9% increase in valuations without any new growth figured in on that. Any new buildings was not figured in on that. Then we're up a little bit over 10 and a half, somewhere in there, if you figure in the new construction or whatever. But that's statewide, so that's every parcel.
Patty, why are we so high compared to the statewide average?
It would be whatever comes in every county as to what the valuations are. I mean, what the sales are, the market. I mean, so basically what we figured out, we have to meet those criteria at every level with Turk. So, yeah.
I'll chip in there, too. This morning I had a phone conversation with Sarah Scott, who is our property tax administrator now. And three or four times in that conversation, she mentioned the part about market value. That's what it is all trying to. In other words, if you have a 1990 house in Beatrice with so many square feet, that market value is for Beatrice, not for, I call it Kearney, because that might have a different market value. But you should be able to go across the state and say, this is what that house is bringing here, this is what that house is bringing here, and everybody is on the market value. She used that several times this morning when I had conversations with her.
And we're well below other areas.
Pardon?
But we're well below other areas here. I was just talking to a realtor in Seward who was marketing something here in Beatrice, and he goes, yeah, you guys are lucky. Your prices are low here.
Yes.
And I said, well, I think that would be a contentious topic if you brought it up. I said, why don't you go down to Sunrise and say that? Yeah. But he said, yeah, we just can't get the dollars down here in Beatrice like we can in some of the other towns. And we've had prices going through the roof down here.
Yes. And part of what Sarah and I visited about it this morning is you take a house in Beatrice and now you take a house up in Adams, right where I live. We live closer to Lincoln, and the Lincoln, I call it the Lincoln valuations on Lincoln properties affect Adams more than they affect Beatrice. But at the same time, over the years, I've heard people that, oh, they sometimes will come and they will purchase a property in Beatrice because it's that much cheaper than Lincoln. So that all plays into it or whatever. I'll get into what the state's done or whatever, but I think Emily or somebody had a question.
With that, Derek Niederklein, when they're doing those values, just as you said, there's different percent or percent less in different communities. So, for example, he said that Claytonia is valued at about 18% less than what Adams is,
yes.
And that's because of location. When we were talking about taxing authorities and how, like, your values increase, you know, say they value increase 25%, every one of those taxing entities should have a lower levy at that point, because to maintain a, as Eric said, a minimal or a conservative budget, I mean, you're going to have a little bit of an increase, but it should be nowhere near 25%. Mm-hmm. And so that's what those levies, changing those levies are for. And then just my question for you, Myron, when you said it, when we were in the legislation, and, you know, you're basing it off the slice formula, which is based on your economic impacts for that cap. And one of the questions I had for you is, okay, so let's say a bridge goes out, and that slice formula, you said it is an average of, I think, 4%?
Repeat that again. What?
The slice formula, your cap on their budgets, when we were capping, it's based on a certain
percent, yes.
Yes. And so you said that it was an average of 4% over 10 years, right?
There are certain entities that have some of that, I call it what I call the exceptions or whatever.
Okay.
And the school districts are one, but it's not over 10%. The school districts, if they don't use all of their, I call it previous cap, they can carry that forward for the next 3 years. Or maybe 5 years it is. I don't remember the exact details. They can sometimes carry that forward so that they don't just lose that. In other words, the thought process behind that was, if you are limited to a 3% cap every year and you only use 2% of that, now that 1% cap is basically gone. It can't be picked up in future years. We put that, and I know schools, and I'm not sure about the cities and the counties, they can carry it forward now. In other words, they get to carry it forward, but for so long. It's not 10 years. I know it's not 10 years.
It was more, I think we were talking about like the slice formula for figuring out our cap, the county cap.
Okay.
You said over a 10-year average, that was a 4%. Cap, is that
right? Oh, no, okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
You're talking about originally when that bill was proposed, we were going to use the CPI.
Yes.
CPI is a federal, is a national, I call it, formula or whatever. And there were senators that were not going to vote for the bill that if we kept CPI in there, because in the state of Nebraska, we're affected a little bit different than the CPI by the houses and stuff. And that's why slice is what we use now, which is a more local or just generic to the state of Nebraska. And that's how we came up with that 3% of slice. It's using the slice number or whatever that would come up. But that's looked back over a number of years. But that is in the last year then how there were increases or how the cost of living or all those things are calculated in that slice formula.
So is that where the cap is, or is it, did you end up doing a straight 3% cap, or is it based on that formula?
I think we're maximum 3%, but if slice is lower than that, then you can go to that maybe. But that I'm not 100% sure.
That was my question, is because one time it could be lower, and if it was like let's say it ended up, you know, it's an average of a certain percent, but let's say when 1 year it was zero, if we had a bridge go out, that was my question for you. What happens and how we fix that?
That again is a safety.
That was my, when you said that was my clarification question. Could
bridges,
that be considered
bridges
a safety?
Bridges or roads, fire departments, sheriffs, and stuff, certain things fall into that safety category.
Okay,
and
that
stuff.
Was my question.
So bridges
time,
are outside of that cap then because of safety.
Weren't. Yes.
Eric, I know it's not on this same topic, but you just mentioned something in the fire department. MFO money, you probably have a clear understanding of that. We were talking about it earlier. From the fire department?
Doing what?
The MFO money.
Oh, yes.
Can you explain it from a fire department viewpoint?
MFO money, and I hope I'm correct. I've been up there 7 years, and it's really challenging to learn that. But the MFO money was MFO was an agreement that years ago that I don't know whether it was the state fire marshal or who, but they came into agreements with like counties like this and stuff that they would get so much of a, I believe it's a $10 million pot every year. You get so much, but to get that, you have to maintain your levy at 3 cents. And we've changed that a little bit some. There's been some bills to try to change that because, quite honestly, Terry Jurgens was one of them that spoke up, said we don't need that all the time. But the way it's in statute is if you don't raise your levy in your fire department 3 cents, you don't qualify for any of that other, I call it, it's a state money. It's a state pull. And it might have been $8.5 million. It's $8.5 million or $10
million. It was during Breslow's time.
Yes.
When that was done.
When that came into being. But that still, every year now, is allocated out to the fire departments that meet that criteria. And one, like, there's been some discussion, and I know Terry's talked to me, but even other senators have had people talk to them, especially when these valuations are getting where they're at. 3% starts adding up quite a bit. And should we do that? We didn't get it done. We didn't get it pulled. I call it pulled and switched back different. But there's a from the state, there's that funding, that pool of money that is allocated to all of them. And I saw when we had the bill discussion, I saw all the numbers of how many and who and what. But I don't remember them all now. But, yeah. So, and it's, if you don't have to keep your levy at 3 cents, if you put your levy down to 2 or 1 cents, but then you don't qualify for this pool of money that the state has put out there for all the fire departments to use. And that was at a time when the fire departments were having a hard time, I call it, coming up with funding. They were really struggling. And that was a pool of money then that was put out there so that, here, if you meet this criteria or you do these things, now we will also allocate this extra money for you. So
wasn't that through an insurance fund, Myron, at the time, that
That's where the money was taken from. If it wouldn't have been taken from there, though, it would have been taken out of the general fund. So that money would otherwise come into the general funds. We have a great way of up there. We allocate money from other areas and use it. Yeah. So, yeah. But that's what the purpose of it was.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about that this morning, though, because as valuations have actually, some of them have doubled even, in so many years, well, that means that dollar amount is actually doubled, too. The bad thing is, and I mean, once again, this isn't popular to say, if you remove all the county tax asking, our 0.375 mills, you don't feel it that much. The majority of that is on the school funding. Basically, close to double what county tax asking is. Have you made any progress on how to take some of the property tax burden from the schools off of the folks? Because they're the ones that slid through without a cap. Yeah. We talked about this. The cap doesn't scare me. We should be working under that. Yeah. So should every other county. The schools, though, are a large funding taker. And that's the one that I guess it's easy to point the finger at because they're your largest tax asker.
Just as a general rule of thumb up in the legislature, and it's really close that 1 year it'll be under, next it's 60% of the property taxes are schools, basically. And it varies by 1 or 2% every now and then, but otherwise it's normally... That's what we use, 60%. And just as an example, in the article that I talked about Lincoln, there's a 63% of the taxes in Lancaster in their taxing entity. That's what the article said or whatever. So what have we done for schools? And it's not so much, yes, we did put the cap. This is the first time we've ever got a cap on them, not on them, that we've got incorporated with them in their budget process, a cap. But what we've done probably more... and it's not because I've been up there, but the last 7 years since I've been up there, when I came up there 7 years ago, the state was picking up Tier 1 property taxes at the rate of $200 million a year. That's what they were doing. That is on your statement, the Tier 1 are on your statement, and that is all of the taxes, that's all of the taxes in the state figured up. Now that's up to $422 million it was this year. It has an automatic 3% rider in it, so it goes up 3%. Senator Breezy got that done, so that goes up also. In addition to that, I want you to remember that. We started out when I, 7 years ago, the state started out at $200 million for property tax relief. Since then, we have done the Tier 2, which are now for schools and school funding, which used to be the income tax credit, the property tax income tax credit that you had to claim. That started out at $125 million, I think, the second year I was up there. That grew to 2 years ago, it was $560 million, and you still had to claim it on your income tax. The issue there was only at most 70% of the people were claiming it, so not even everybody was claiming it. What we did last summer during the special session in LB 34, we put that up to $750 million, and now it's front-loaded. So you have the $422 million and the $750 million. We almost have $1.2 billion there in property tax relief. In addition, when Governor Pillen came in, we did the foundation aid to schools, $1,500 per student. So TEOSA formula, only at that time, only 85 schools were getting aid from the state through the TEOSA formula. This was put into the TEOSA formula. Now every student in the state gets $1,500. So that has helped lower our, I call it, the need for property taxes from the schools. So that amount is on there. That's $250 million a year right now, each year, out of the general fund budget. And the other thing we did, when this was still when Governor Ricketts was here, we got it so that community colleges, the state is picking up all of those taxes, but that's taken a five-year period to blend it in or whatever. Last year, that was the one you still had to claim on your property tax credit. This year, to be front-loaded, it'll be $266 million. In two more years, it'll be $312 million. So we did the $266 million there. We did the $250 million there. We did a total of, if you add that onto the $1.2 billion, we're up to $1.7 billion. When I came up there, it was the state was picking up $200 million. Now we are picking up $1.7 billion, or an addition, we are picking up $1.5 billion out of, in 2022, $5.3 billion was a total amount of property taxes billed out in the state. I heard this year, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard this year is the first year that, this last year was the first year that they have had a decrease in the amount billed out because of different things that have gone on or whatever. Don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard. $1.5 billion each year now the state picks up that they were not picking up 7 years ago. On my property, when I did my Gage County property taxes, all of them, I added them all together, added all of the, because Tier 1 and Tier 2 are credits on the bottom of your statement, they're negative numbers, that amounted to 28% in Gage County last year. That's what I got credit on that statement, that the state is now picking up that they weren't picking up before and stuff. So, yes, there are so many different ideas, thoughts, ways to try to get our, call it our property tax issue solved. When we had the meeting over in south of Sterling with Chris Nelson, invited a bunch of people over there, myself, Senator Hallstrom, and Terry Kiebler were over there. I made the comment, it takes 33 votes, and that's what you find out when you get up there. There are so many ideas, there are so many great ideas, until we get it, I call it, past those 33 vote threshold of a filibuster. We haven't been able to get things passed because this year, again, Senator Brandt brought the bills to increase sales or to tax popping candy because you pay for, I think you pay for, when you get a bottle of pop, there's a tax on it, but not the fountain, or it's vice versa. It was going to tax everything. It was going to bring a tax on cigarettes, increase it from 60, I think, 6 cents to double it, and some things like that. That bill there, we had it. We had conversation on the floor. His amount was going to be amount of $100 million in additional taxes we were going to raise by sales tax. There were three or four other smaller sales taxes. And then that was all going to go to property tax relief. We only got 26 votes for that thing. So there, when I tell people we need the 33 votes, and that was going to be designated to property tax relief, that some people call it a shift, other people don't call it a shift. I contend that for years, property taxes have been a tax increase because we've shifted it from other things we could have. It's been that way. So
this is something Patty and I have talked about. I've had people ask about it, even though we have no say in it. People still discuss it. Right now, we subsidize ag land by keeping the tax asking at an artificially low number.
Yeah, for between 69 and 75.
Mm-hmm. So with that being lower, that gives artificial increase to prices when people purchase ground. I mean, owning a piece of ground or a building, there are expenses that go along with that because the Gov has their handout right away. That pushes that price up. Has there been discussion on bringing that to an equal playing field also with commercial and residential property?
Yeah, but that don't go very far ever. There's been some discussion. We did, Senator Breezy did get, when he was still in the legislature, we did get it that for bond issues only, ag land is used at a 43 to 50% value instead of at the 69 to 75. That's a bond issue only that's voted on by the people. So we did get that in there. Not the other way, what you were just talking about.
He brought it down even lower.
He brought it down for bond issue for ag land only. I know many people always talk about ag lands getting a break on it or whatever. When you look at the other states, and this is one thing that was really brought up over there at the Sterling, they hammered on us about the other states. We are the highest property tax ag land state around. If you go down to Kansas, they're about a third of what we are. If you go over to Iowa, they value theirs on profit. They have different criteria where they actually have a score on all of their property, and then on the income potential for that property, and theirs is definitely lower than ours. South Dakota is lower than ours, but South Dakota, people always says, well, we ought to model after South Dakota. South Dakota is over 200 things that they don't allow for exemptions for Social Security, not Social Security, for Sales tax. They are the state, the one state in the, they are leading the nation in the number of things they put sales tax on. That's why their income tax is lower, and that's why their property taxes are lower, because they collect a good share of theirs by sales tax. We've never been able to do that, never been able to get the 33 votes. Like I said with Senator Brandt's bill this year, never been able to swing that to get enough votes to get that that way.
That's impressive. Are there any plans like that? I mean, that takes the valuation question completely out. Absolutely. If we would get the tax shifted to a sales tax or something like that, all of a sudden...
We haven't been able to. I shouldn't say it hasn't garnered enough votes to be able to pass those things. Last year during special session, remember Governor Pillen had the so-called 100 he wanted to bring back in sales tax exemptions. Well, that didn't go anywhere during special session. Then this year, Senator Brandt's bill, that was late in the session when that finally got brought to the floor and that was had discussion on it there. Again, we couldn't with it pared way back because he originally had over $240 million, I believe, in his bill, and he pared it way back because the different things people were not going to vote for, and he thought if he lowered the amount enough that he could get it, and we still couldn't get it yet and stuff. So that part has always been a challenge, continues to be a challenge, but I also tell people don't kill the process. We have so-called 67% of the people right now live in the Lincoln and Omaha area, 67% of the population. That means a third live in the rural areas. We have so-called 17, 18, or 19 rural senators. It would not have happened. The community college would not have been included on there if it wouldn't have been for Senator Friesen and a bunch of us rural people telling Governor Ricketts at that time we weren't going to vote for his tax bill that was lowering taxes and funding some school property taxes unless community college, that part was also included in there. And still remember having the meeting with him, and he said, well, that's interesting. Let me think about that. 2 days later, he came back to us and said, yeah, that's acceptable. In fact, he said that's a good thing to do and stuff, so that the community colleges, if you remember, they are allowed nine cents of levy. Not all of them were there. A few of them were. They are still allowed 2 cents for building levy, the community colleges are. So in 2 more years, we will be up to $315 or $320 million that the state is picking up of community college taxes, property taxes, which the average property tax owner would have been picking up otherwise. So that is another thing that really has been positive, but sometimes we don't get enough credit for it.
A half a cent sales tax for when we did the Beatrice 6 accounted for, what, 1 to 2 million a year? And they
well, it ended up 1.3 million in Gage County.
And they estimated about 40% of that came from out of county.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, if we had a 1 cent sales tax to fund the schools, if any percent of that came from out of state, would be a big win for Nebraska. I mean, because right now we have zero coming from out of state.
Well, we would love to tax, I call it, somebody else and other people, especially out of state.
Uh-huh.
Just to give you an example, 2 years ago when Senator Clemens brought the inheritance tax bill, in 2022, 52% of the people that collected on the inheritance tax had out-of-state addresses. And we go, well, it'd be great to continue taxing them and just not the people in the state. However, we can't do that because we have the uniformity thing where we have to do everybody
sales
the
tax,
same.
It'd be everybody, but right now we have 0% coming from out of state with coming on to the taxes.
One other thing I wanted to mention too was the homestead exemptions. Yeah, when I came up there, homestead exemptions statewide were $99 million. Not this year, but in the second year of the budget, they would be $170 million because of, I call it, the people that qualify. Those are all specific people qualify, income and level valuation of your houses. But I call it the lower value houses have come up, and they still, many people are still meeting that threshold. So in 7 years, that's gone from $99 million to that'll be 8 years. It'll go to $170 million. The state's also picking up. So that's also property tax relief that We do get a lot of questions and a lot of bills, one or two bills a year brought, so that we could expand that homestead exemption. Well, naturally by itself, it's expanding at the rate it's expanding at. So, like I said, the second year of the two-year budget, we're budgeting $170 million for homestead exemptions.
And a lot of this discussion has been over actual taxation. The valuation process, as we do that, I mean, that's also dictated by the state legislature.
Yes.
We can't arbitrarily decide what values are on property. The county acts as an administrator of the state legislature a lot of times, whether it's going through the valuation process. You guys set up how protests are done. You give us rules, dates, everything else. And then we're knocking at the door on those. They need to be in by Monday at 5. The valuations after Patty's office, the assessor's office, puts those in place. They have to be approved by the state, and then they let you know, are they approved, are they not. If they're not, the state can come in and reevaluate the county for you. Is that correct?
Okay, so those are approved before they go out at the end of May.
Before they go out to the folks, but you have to submit them to the state for approval as well.
Yeah, I have an R&O. They write a whole document, basically, of whether I'm in compliance or not. Based on, you know, everything's based on what market is doing. You know, I'm not arbitrarily going out there and just picking and choosing. We have to be, I mean, the market's been extremely, extremely strong. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to be in 2 years. It kind of, you know, it's something that I think people are going to struggle with, the kind of insurance rates that might go up. You know, we'll see what the taxes do, but I've never seen a market go that quickly. In all the years I've been here, it seems like, wow, all of a sudden I had $300,000 houses at $500,000. And then the next year we put value on it, and then it was $600,000.
Were we undervalued? That's where I was wondering. Across the state, it was a 9% increase, and you're telling us we're seeing 20-plus percent increases.
Yeah, and you have to look across my sheet.
The city of Beatrice has not had their reappraisal, correct?
They haven't had their reappraisal, but we have to do a percent adjustment
in
order to get
them
into.
I know you're doing the percent, but I mean the people that are upset haven't seen the actual reappraisal
yet. Well, I think Beatrice had a certain percent last year. I don't know if it was 17. I'd have to look at my notes. The 17%. So we do not, on the years that we have a 1 in 6 year plan for sure, that we have to step on property and make sure that, you know, everything's up to par. You know, look at things. That doesn't mean, Rex, that they didn't get an increase.
No, I know they got an increase. Patty, you know I have some heartburn when we go to market value. And I can think of one house that sold 3 years ago for high 189 and then sold the following year for 220. And this year we lower it to 148. I don't understand it. The people that are looking at things don't understand it. And people have presented many different scenarios like that to me.
Where is that located, Rex?
Well, we'll talk about that later, not on the mic.
I mean, I don't, you know, the company did come down. This is the first year. I think, you know, MIPS is with NACO. I mean, I don't know how that all works. It's NACO / MIPS. That's the new computer system. And those guys have been the company that we've hired.
And when he tries to explain the formula to me, I may not be the sharpest, but I'm not the most ignorant when it comes to this. Their formula doesn't necessarily equate to market value.
I think you're going to have to ask Derek about
We did. We sat with him, the three of us.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to look at some of what he looks at. I mean, because he's the one that'll show you the data. He builds models in the computer. He builds comparables.
So when we come back to equalization, I can't defend any of that when somebody sits here and says, my house is this. But this one sold 2 times in 3 years, and they drop it $70,000.
But we also have to look at the sale and verify the sale all the time. Is there anything between relatives? Is there anything between, you know, sometimes like even on a farm, did it include the pivot? Did it include the fertilizer on the property? I mean, my appraisers are usually pretty good on verifying a sale. There's a lot of, you know, no. That one particular doesn't make sense. But what very much doesn't make sense to me is the flipped homes that start out at my value at 60, somebody pays 85, does a little cover-up work, and I've got a $185,000 house. That's the one that gives me a lot of heartburn. And why? You know, people need to be a little bit understanding, you know, we've got new roofs on some of these things. We've got new windows in. We used to do one condition. And when the last supervisor was in here, we talked about how Derek was going to do some of those things. Everybody concentrates on just one condition of a house. Well, you walk on a property now, you might see, especially in Southern Gage County, you know what happened in the last 2 or 3 years. We got brand new roofs. We've got brand new windows. There's not just a condition of the old house inside now. We've done things to the outside that can build a lot more conditions, because I'm going to inform my child or my kid that's buying a house, is the air conditioner good? Is the roof good? Because what's a roof now, you know? Those are things that we used to call maintenance things that we don't anymore. And what's a price per square foot to build a house? I mean, it's not the easiest and it's not the perfect situation.
No, it's not.
So that's what the protest is basically for. But somebody that gets lowered for some reason, whichever one that is, that would be, he's not going to be
some
in.
Some of it, though, Patty, is we were at a deflated valuation for so long. You're rolling south syndrome.
Yes.
The price has caught up rolling south.
Oh, yeah.
So market value has changed.
Huge.
So, I mean, I live down south. Everyone feels their house isn't worth over $50,000. You would sell it all day long in 20 minutes in Lincoln if you put 130 on it.
But Rex, when's the last? And when you look at Wymore and Blue Springs, we've got $200,000 houses.
Oh, I know
now.
That.
How long ago was it when we didn't?
I'm very aware of it.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Mark, I'm not.
Because he sold it.
I have a couple of them.
I know.
So,
you're the one pushing the market up.
Well,
yeah. One property at a time.
You've got to tax base up one property at a time.
So market value, you know, market value is a lot more significant than a lot of your raises even. That is what I'm getting at. I'm not promoting more. Uh-huh. I'm saying sometimes we need to educate them that our market value is there. Every house is not worth $40,000 anymore.
And you know,
there is somebody that will pay that.
That's hard for me and you that have spent a lot different type of money. That a $200,000 house now is probably the starter home.
Right.
Ours was probably 30 to 50.
And I may look at it a little differently from what I've seen in the area. The houses that used to be sold right internally to the same people are not anymore. The last six sold in Blue Springs were from somebody that's at least 60 miles away, sometimes 500 miles away.
Now, another hard question is,
summer, I got to go to a groundbreaking in Lincoln, and there were Hoppy and some of the other construction people were there, so I went over and started talking to some of them, because Hoppy does, he does in Grand Island, he does all over in Omaha, and the boy was there, and he told me that, he said, yeah, right now we're doing this development in Omaha. And I said, okay, affordable housing. We hear that all the time with the legislature. Affordable housing. In Omaha, what do you consider an affordable house? He said, $400,000.
Yeah.
That's in Omaha. Yeah, I'm kind of like you. Oh.
Wow.
In Omaha, in Lincoln, it would be definitely over 300, maybe towards 325, 350. That's right now, affordable housing. If you go to, not to pick on Wymore, but if you go to Wymore or some other small town, rural town, small town in Nebraska, I don't even think it's 200 hardly, you know, an affordable house. So you have all those differences. And then when you try to bring the whole state into that market value thing, it's quite a challenge and quite a complex. Well, the one thing I do remember when Senator Erdman up there, when he was still up there 3 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago with the grass issue we had, he brought the bill, and we actually got it passed. That was one of the few that we got passed. He brought the bill that there was a lot of counties out in western Nebraska that he felt they didn't have grassland valued the same. One might have it at $1,500 an acre and the other one at $700. So he brought the bill so that counties could, he called it use neighboring counties' grassland values to support what theirs were going to be. Well, the intention was that that was for those, most of those western areas. What it ended up being, it was, because Patty got calls, I got calls, it went over the whole statewide in CRP ground, because CRP ground was right. That wasn't the intent of it. So we had to come back and we had to change some of it. So that's how I call it difficult it is sometimes. Senator Erdman had real good intentions and real good thoughts, so that it wasn't just your county and you varied that much from the other counties, that it kind of brought all of those counties into similar type prices. The thing went statewide. That was the interpretation of it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know Patty, I remember talking to her, and she had some CRP ground down here that got quite a jump in value, and people were upset about it. So that's what happens sometimes.
Eric asked me a little bit ago if I would touch my coal idea again, and I brought it up to you before. Do you want me to go over that again or no?
UP has some real strong lobbyists. That's all I'll say.
Burlington, oh, I understand they both do, but
yeah.
So I'm going to touch on it because Eric feels there's a value to it. My thought is, my son in Wyoming, when I go to their schools, I go to everything. Everything is covered. Everything is new AstroTurf. You don't pay to go to an event. Tourism, coal, oil, gas covers everything. And I sit here, I work on the railroad, and across Nebraska with UP, the Burlington Northern, there could be, let's say, 100 loaded coal trains going through here a day. Wyoming's already charged on the front end of that. I feel we need to have a pass-through tax that these coal trains, oil trains, are going to the East Coast. Each 150-car coal train with 22,000 tons per car, if you had a dollar per car, 22,000 times 150 times, let's just say, 100 trains a day, that the East Coast is paying for our property relief. That's not counting your oil. I know the railroad has very, very, very strong lobbyists. I know they spend everything. But that would not be railroad money. That would be East Coast money.
The first thing, I don't know about the legality of it, if you can tax pass through. I don't know, because the one fear I have is Nebraska exports a bunch of their grain overseas and stuff.
It could create that.
Now, is somebody going to tax us to go through their state? That I don't know. But the other one is, you were up there when 2 years ago we had the two-man train crew, and the lobbying was intense with that. Another good example of lobbying was the marijuana issues that we had this year. Heard there were people from multiple other states came in to lobby, and some of the dollars I heard that they were getting paid, it was like, you got to be kidding me. We should tax... My comment was, we should tax lobbyists more. They're going to come in here to the state, and let's tax the lobbyists more.
Is there anyone from the public that have any questions on how valuations are come to, or questions about valuation? Would you please come up and give your name and address for the record?
I am Max Quattromani, 1301 South Fifth Avenue down in Belvedere. My question is more...
I'm sorry, sir. Could you give your last name again?
Quattromani, Quattromani.
Thank you.
My question is sort of maybe related for Ms. Milligan and MIPS. A lot of residents became aware that the data on G-Works changed. And the appearance is that was the underlying data, possibly a template change, that's an assumption. But will that be addressed? Because a lot of people feel like that's disrupted, myself included, disrupted the protest process. And when I went to request official records to just make sure that things were accurate, didn't change, I didn't get those. So I don't have anything to base this number off of. And I think I'm in a similar boat to a lot of people, especially in Beatrice, where we haven't been assessed. We've been raised, and I understand how the rules work. I've read the administrator's opinion from this year, but I can't quite square how the process works when data changes, or if it changed.
Just so that I understand the question, you're talking about the data that's on the website as far as the it's the GIS network,
yeah.
G-Works?
It's the publicly available data that we can download a PDF.
DNA, the... What are you getting at?
Dwelling data.
No, I understand, but I mean, like, the house conditions have changed.
Yes.
Is that data there? Or is
There was a blip on there.
It was there, disappeared, now it's back.
It was there and off and back. That's non-official information, unfortunately, too. But did anything change as far as your actual record keeping on the cards?
Everything that we change on our working file as we're working through MIPS either goes directly, because it'll track right into our initials and everything.
Somebody asked me about that too, that there's NAs on
there. The non-applicable for the outbuildings that we were doing, there was about a 3-day period where we took those off. The non-applicable was the valuations were showing up on there to some outbuildings that we did. However, we did not do all of the outbuildings. There was some new ones, and there was some, we had changed to a 24 pricing. So we've got that corrected now, and everything should be back on there. The only thing is, you've been in my office twice. What would have been great, we could have taken your property record card out and set and explained all of you to you about Nebraska and our laws and, you know, how we do things. Because sometimes, even with, we don't shut our computer down. Someone said something about we shut our computer down.
We have
January 1st is our assessment date. So January 1st, after that, whatever's billed at that time of yours or anybody else's, that's where you get stopped. So what that means is we can still work that property record card, but if you only have a basement dug as of January 1st, that's the only thing that gets taxed. That's a partial value.
Mm-hmm.
You can go the rest of the year and put the whole house on and not get taxed for the rest of the house, because January 1st is our deadline. We're a year behind in Nebraska. And so that's something that is very confusing. And then basically, as I went through, we have our values come out and give us a percentage, like the amount, you know, that we have to be in compliance with, 92 to 100% on res, 92 to 100% on commercial, and then the ag land has to be at 69 to 75. Those are the things that we have to be in compliance with Sarah Scott and with the Nebraska Department of Property Assessment. Then they read, did you read the RNO? There's an RNO on property tax assessment.
I've only read it once, so I won't.
Okay. That tells everything about my report card, basically, to the state. And liaisons come down, too. We go to workshops, you know, Myron's, whatever they do in the legislature, I'm obliged to follow those rules. And then, so when we're in compliance, we're good to go. And if we're not, then Turk calls me in, which is a tax equalization review commission made up of 4 commissioners. They call you in and they check why your values are not in compliance. And some counties have got called in. When you get called in, that generally means you're going to get a percentage across the board on all your homes or whatever properties were out of compliance. A website is a working file. And what I'm not, there's no information that we can't change that can't follow a trail. I mean, that's the way it is now.
Patty, I think part of it, though, is, so are we going to get rid of the paper files?
I like paper, but I'm old. So
I do, but I like to
be able to show it to you and show what we've done. The only thing is, the computer with the paper gives you a double.
Well, and the bad thing is for the public is they're going through properties. Unless they come in to see you, they can't touch that. So the computer's all they have. That website's all they have to compare different properties. Now, last year when they came in, some of the protests, some of the values were the previous year's values. We had the information for the new year. The public had last year or the previous year's information. So then some of their comparables were actually 2 years off.
But everybody's welcome in my office. And so that is right now. So the 25 value, basically us, our girls will be working on that and writing it across on our property record card for the next several months.
Okay.
You know, they're there. They're in our computer system. But we have to take the time, by not waiting on people, and write everything down. And, you know, printouts, anything that you're welcome. Everything's public record in my office.
And I know, and I respect you said we weren't going to discuss individually, but since you brought it up, I did come to your office, and I did make a very specific request for those records. And I received nothing at all responsive 25. To the 25 valuation.
I gave you the property record card.
You did.
And you wanted it.
Did not include 25.
Did it say on your sheet, though, that you wanted it as it was, as of January 1st?
I wanted it as of June 1, and I wanted it as of June 11th to determine if the changes that I saw were relevant and that I had an accurate picture of what my property was being assessed at.
Then
just my question here, June 1 and June 11th of the same year?
This year, during the protest period.
Should anything change between June 1 and June 11th, just out of my own curiosity?
No, and basically what I gave him was everything that I had from, because I thought that you were asking for what you wanted as of before we sent the valuation notices out. And that would be 24 values until we say, do you know what I'm saying? There's a deadline, the 19th. We can change values up till the 19th of March of 25.
Okay.
So when I gave you the June 1st, you know, when we first mailed them out, we had the 24 ahead of that.
Okay.
So if you need the 25 going forward, then we have that too. We have, you know, we don't have it written on the card yet. And okay. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I'd have to look at what your sheet said. You wanted everything prior to.
Patty, the 25 is not on because it hasn't been approved yet until it goes through everything?
No, we haven't had time to we have to print all those record cards.
Okay.
And so we have to print a valuation sheet, and then we write on your land. So when everything comes to you on the day of the protest or when it's going to Daryl, mm-hmm. we're writing quickly on there the land, the buildings.
And this is everybody.
Huh?
Everybody's the same.
What do you mean?
Every card's the same, pretty much.
Well, outbuildings can be on, you know, houses. But so we have to write on the property record card. We do a lot more work with the property record card than to get rid of it.
Ms. Axby, you have something?
Just a question. Have you gone in and actually, like, sat down and worked through the information that you wanted from them?
I haven't heard from the referee or wherever I am in the process. I just filed my protest on Wednesday.
Yeah, we called the other day, so we need to get your – we left a message.
Oh, I haven't seen
a couple.
Okay.
I mean,
they said they would email me, and that's what I've been monitoring, but okay. I'll look at my phone.
I think I just want to clarify, because a couple of you said if there were any changes made. I've had a couple people reach out, and I'm going to guess these were the same questions. It was about the buildings showing N/A, and then the other one was badly worn to something else.
Yeah, I had specific to someone who reached out and had their condition change after June 1. From badly worn to fair. That's a very specific parcel, and she'll address that on her own.
No, and I had a couple people reach out and ask me. They picked up the phone, they called and asked. I didn't have the answer because obviously that's not our area. I picked up the phone and I called Patty, and it was a very, very simple explanation. I think a lot of these misinformation, miscommunications can be taken care of with a very simple
and we do have
nice phone call. Because I think those were very easy. It was the NA came from the GIS. It was a program issue. That was going to get put back to the way it was. And then the other one, the badly worn, it was a coding thing. So between the two programs, it was coded like 1 to 5.
And I don't know if that was my one from the year before, 24 to 25.
Yeah,
I have to look at the property
The two
record
stood
card.
For one thing. It was the old language. But now the new language means badly worn, and now it's considered fair.
Right.
It's the same two level. It was just a different a word coding.
For one thing, we changed computer systems.
Yes.
And so the TerraScan that we had, we had to go over to MIPS because TerraScan went out of our community.
Okay.
And so after 20 years of being in one system, some of the coding will be different than the other system. But I have a referee here on mm-hmm. Friday that is the MIPS system that will be able to show you everything if you're able to come on Friday.
And if I may, I'll just finish then. But so that you understand from a homeowner standpoint, the complication that's presented by the NA, the whatever that was, causes every homeowner who wants to comp their house to check and see, how does my house stack up? Why did my house go up 10% when I can look at Nebraska year over year, May to May, and it's 2.4%? So when I want to go now comp a neighbor's home and none of his dwelling data is there, or it appears changed or incomplete, I then have to come to the assessor's office with a list of homes that I want records of. What we're finding, though, is that those records don't yet include 2025. So I can't comp my home against what my neighbors are being raised at. Not on mine. So maybe they are on others, but again, I'll have to come to you with specific parcel numbers.
Sure. On the website.
To get.
This was an issue with in the past, too, that there wasn't the current ones. Just wondering, what do other counties do? Are other counties in the same time frame as us?
We do not put our values out there on 2025 on the website until June 1st because we would like the owners to see their property records first. We don't start putting them out just the minute that we create them. They're dumped into the file on June 1st. There's nothing shady going on or anything else. I mean, basically, we don't put those out there till June 1st.
But the 25 information...
That should be on there now.
Folks are protesting 24.
No.
Not 25.
They're doing 25.
So it's the current year, I guess that's what I'm asking. The current year's information that they're protesting against is not on the website.
It should be on the website, yes. The 25.
Okay, it should
be. It's not
on
my property record card.
Okay.
So we're stuck using that, and stuck is a relative word, but that's the resource that we have as homeowners, property owners, without overburdening the office with very specific parcel records.
You're not overburdening the office. You're overburdening the technology that we use to spread stuff that, in my opinion, could be solved in a sit-down.
So that's what we have to do. Anyone that's protesting, if it isn't listed,
you have to understand it, too. I mean, I would prefer somebody, instead of talking in a coffee shop or on the Internet or anything like that, to come visit us and talk to my appraiser.
I also agree with that, but if they want to do it at home, there may or may not be a way to get that information, is what you're saying. It may be on there.
Everything's on the Internet that I'm aware of right now. Everything that you have for 25 is on there.
When does it go on? I guess that's I'm
June 1st.
One of the issues too, and I've heard a lot of people, you know, they try hard to find a home. Like unless you know homes or how old they are, or if you build them, or if you're in that area. Like one of my neighbors, like I don't know what homes were built in the 1972, and so I did speak to Derek with MIPS. And we were working on a way to do a search to make that easier for everybody. And I don't know if he got that up yet or not, but the idea would be that you could search homes by age, condition, and geographical location so that it'd be easier for people to compare. And I don't know if he got that done yet. That's something that we're trying to get done.
All this is going to be very good. I mean, as far as he's building this program and there's getting to be more and more young people that are coming into this world now and being able to change to make it a lot easier for you guys to see this stuff. This office has never, ever, we've always been transparent.
I mean, a phone call,
something or
a lot
anything.
Of those things just came from a nice phone call to say, hey, you know, I'm having issues. How can we get it? And then we can make phone calls and see if we can make something better or easier.
I appreciate that, but with respect, these are our taxes. These need to
these
be
are our
official.
Values.
The property valuations result in housing expense increases. Whether it's through, you know, levies get lowered, and I appreciate that happened this year. That's not going to stop my insurance company from what they're doing. So at the end of the day, the result for homeowners is what it costs us to live in our home. I've lived in my home for 5 years on a 3% VA fixed. My housing cost is up 57% since I moved here. I haven't done anything. My sidewalk's cracked. I already need paint. I had a new roof 5 years ago. And I understand that things do go up and that bases go up. But I also know that Gage County's not really growing. And so as these valuations go up, we're going to start running into a problem as our older generation leaves us. We're not going to be able to backfill that. And so levies will have to come back up very soon. And honestly, I know that we're probably facing 25 to 30% value that value increase. I know that Wymore saw that. I mean, a lot of people got it worse than me, and that's why I'm not trying to talk about my home specifically, but I've heard about the challenges that people are facing.
Specifically, you're on here, you'd like to see the information be more current on the...
We don't have to put a working file on there at all. We're doing it for... We have done everything to to help the people. The only thing is, when you go to a new computer system or anything, you're going to have some glitches. We have different codes than we had from others.
That's a good point, though, is there's nothing that says we have to put anything out or the county needs
and
to put out
what?
Any of that.
And I do.
It is a huge
but
tool, though,
and
people
can
use
be, it.
It
can be very confusing to the person that doesn't understand it either. And so, you know, let's talk about it instead of, you know, getting it all blown up.
Well, that's what we're trying to do, just bring it out and have
it. I mean, there's been quotes on there that I don't read, but, you know, it almost tries to make you feel like, you know, I've been here 47 years. That doesn't mean I should still be here, but I've been pretty transparent. These guys know me, and it's like, just come talk to our appraiser and let's figure this out together. I mean, that's the best way to do any of it.
That's what we encourage everyone
to do. And I mean, that's
do.
What the world needs to do, period, today, is talk to each other, and that's, you know.
Exactly.
Well, we talk about values and values going up and that being dependent on everybody's livelihoods, and I understand that the percent increases that we've been seeing, but that's also based on sales. So, like, when these sales happen that are, like, somebody buys a home for $324,000 and it was valued at like $198,000 at the time, then that's going to drive prices up. That's going to drive everybody's up.
You're
when we're overpaying for
pile.
These homes.
Yeah.
It's those sales that have that effect, and that's not within our ability to change that. That's state legislature. That's how we have to do it.
I would say, and I apologize on your last name, Mr.
Quattromani.
Do you have any other questions on how the process itself works? Or?
No, I appreciate the answers and wanted to bring those to light specifically, not again to myself, but from people that I've heard from, because it's been, if nothing else, if it's all correct, then the correct version of all this is very confusing for people, and it's very frustrating for people.
I think you're correct in that, too, is that it's frustrating and confusing at times. I do really, and I don't say that jovially, I do encourage people to come down. I mean, if you get to, as a person narrows it down, if you're doing a protest or you're studying your own property, if you do get it narrowed down or have questions, I still say the best thing to do is call the assessor's office, set up an appointment, and sit down and go over those things.
I'll follow up on that.
And the referees will be a good, if you are willing to meet with one of those, because you filed your protest, right?
I did on Wednesday. And tell me, does he have would that be coming from a Nebraska phone number, or is it possible I ignored an out-of-state number?
It'd be coming from my office phone number, from the office phone number.
What we will do, though, is continue to try to update. One of the reasons we're doing the reassessment is to try to get more accuracy and equalization. We'll continue to try to do that, and then we'll also continue to try to update anything that we do put out for information. Irregardless of this, I mean, whether it's our website or anything else, are we going to be cutting edge? No, but we are going to try to keep accurate information as quickly as possible.
We appreciate reaching out or bringing concerns, because we can't fix it unless we know
absolutely
issues, right? And so if, like, when I've been getting phone calls, I talk to Patty and I've been talking to MIPS to see if we can fix it and make it better, make it easier, because that is the point, is to try to make it more understandable.
And easier is the best way to do it, too. Be careful of how much, if you put too much, I mean, you're definitely can put a lot of information on there, but you have to understand that information, too.
Patty, there's been some confusion on homestead exemption. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, that's due by June 3rd, let's see, Monday. All those have to go in on Monday. So that would be for 65-year-old individuals that are owner and record of their property and are on a limited income. And there's also some veterans.
The state approves those. Those are not subsidized by the county. The state subsidizes those, pays those. They come off of the county tax asking. And when I say the county tax asking, the other agencies as well?
We do handle all the information for the state. Then it goes up in a computer system that's new too, by the way. A new computer system, and then they look at their income. We help people, but the income is identified by the state through their income tax. And so that will help people if they're, you know, on a limited income.
What if somebody sells the home during the middle of the year?
If they die, if they pass away, die, or, you know, any, sell the house, move and rent something else, by August 15th it goes back on the tax rolls for the full year of 25. So everything else after that is good. But there are also veterans, disabled, totally disabled. There's disabled individuals. So,
would anyone else like to ask any questions about valuation or process? And it doesn't have to be just a day. This isn't a one and done. I mean, like I say, the assessor's office is open 5 days a week. This is an active, liquid conversation all the time. There are milestones that are set, and the numbers can't change after that. But otherwise, this is an ongoing process.
And you're trying to equal mass, you know, this is mass appraisal. This isn't an easy...
Next year's going to be a tough one, too. This coming year, trying to equalize out. We don't have this conversation every year like this. But this coming year, we will be looking at Beatrice Rural or Beatrice Residential and Commercial. What's more, while I was in your office this morning, there's a phone call. Why did you start reevaluating acreages in the north? Well, because you can't do them all at once, and it was you decided to do them in the north. I said have them call you back if they need to. But had we started in the south, it would have been the same conversation. Why'd you start in the south? I mean, we have to cover the county.
Someplace.
Someone has to be first.
And, you know, it's the one that every year we have a problem with the value. If I did that area 1 year and said we're good to go, but that's not the way it works. I mean, that's where it's the strongest every year. I'm constantly looking at it again and again.
The north?
Yeah. Because of the valuations.
The north is
going to
be
so
changing
fast.
More rapidly. I mean, I think that makes sense. But we are trying to get through the entire county, trying to reevaluate. This has been an ongoing conversation.
And I think Rex will agree. It's so cookie cutter down there. That is going to be hard to value all of the south because of the different types of...
Go ahead.
No.
No, it's...
Did I say what?
No, Roger just made a comment about there are no wind turbines in the north, so it's easier to evaluate. And I said, no, that is not one.
It's just a joke.
Just kidding. But no, this will be part of the ongoing reevaluation. We're spending a fair amount of money on this. This is trying to bring everybody back into equalization. This was something that Mr. Adams talked about for years prior to him being elected. He worked on it when he was on before. It's a big undertaking. Protests need to be in by Monday, 5:00. Get your protests in. If you do not agree with your valuation, set up an appointment with the assessor's office to try to work this out before your protest, if at all possible. If not, go to your protest.
We're getting so many of them in at this point right now. We're just constantly back.
How many do you have right now?
200.
It's over
200. You know, and we have 16,000 parcels, so I appreciate
very low
people
percentage
that are
yet,
looking at them and saying, you know, we understand it.
Protests are not a bad thing. They're just trying to make sure things are realigned. Any other questions from the board or the public or the assessor's office for valuation or valuation process? If Senator Dorn can find a way to minimize the effect of valuations on things.
Dad, do you have any good advice for me?
Out of state resources.
Gamble some more. We're collecting money off of gambling.
I don't have any money.
For the record, Senator Dorn just said that we could get more money from gambling. But if we don't have anything else for this item, we do have a closed session for contract negotiations. Anything else for valuations? or for the good of the order? If not, we're going to take a brief recess, and then we'll go into a closed session afterwards. Okay. We'll recess for approximately 5 to 10 minutes at 11:15. We'll reconvene at 11:26 on the clock. I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session necessary for protection of the public interest or for the protection of the public interest or protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. We'll go into closed session for negotiation. A motion by Claybaugh.
Second.
Second by Adams. Please vote. Five in favor with Mr. Juergens leaving the room. We'll be in closed session.
What?
Sure.
Okay. I'm not ready.
That's good. Me neither.
We'll come into closed session at 11:54. We were in closed session for contract negotiations. I'd ask for a motion to come out at 11:54.
Second.
Moved by Claybaugh, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. Four in favor, as we have lost Ms. Haxby as well. We are out of closed session. Anything else for the good of the order?
Just curious, do you want to go on record regarding your decision?
I don't know that we need to.
We don't have a quorum anyway.
We do.
We do, yeah? No, I thought you were done.
But
she didn't say that we needed that right now. So
I was saying for ER. It's up to you. You can talk to her and maybe do it in 2 weeks.
Maybe see,
I'm just saying there might be some value in.
Okay. Okay.
The board is saying in an effort to try to resolve this, we're going to suggest this to our council. But talk to Sarah first before we do that, because I don't want to screw up something she may have in mind, too. But to me, as a taxpayer, I like that idea versus all the other crap.
We'll see what she says, and I'll put it on next time, then.
Okay. All right. This is on.
All right. We will adjourn at 11:55.
Sorry about that.